So as we have developed our service this evening, we have kept in mind that question with which we began. Who is he in yonder stall? And as we have sung our different carols this evening, we have been reminding ourselves of some of the names and some of the titles given to the Lord Jesus Christ. During this week, we received a Christmas card from one of our members, and inside was a whole series of names given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought, that would make a good series of sermons. And it could keep us for probably a couple of years or more looking at the wonderful names of the Lord Jesus Christ. But over the Christmas period, when the Lord Jesus Christ, his birth was announced to Mary and to Joseph, when it was announced to the shepherds, there were many and varied names that were used for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I firmly believe that God doesn't waste words. He uses particular words in particular contexts. And therefore, when God used a particular name for his son, he was driving home a message. This morning, we were looking at the name Jesus, weren't we? And he was to be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph was caught up with what he thought was the sin of his wife, Mary. But he had to learn things. But God wanted to get that message across, that Jesus came to save people from their sins. Well, we've read many passages tonight, but in particular tonight, I want us to go back to the announcement that was given to the shepherds. And there were a number of different names that were given to the Lord. There were a number of different points that were made when the shepherds heard the voice of the angel. But in particular, I want to pick up Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, where it says, "For unto you is born this day a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." A Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Three statements, three titles of Jesus: Saviour, Christ, Lord. Why? Well, briefly, I want to say that the people were oppressed, they were leaderless, and I say this carefully, they were godless. Now, why do I say those things? Well, they were oppressed and they needed a Saviour. They were oppressed because they were a nation under occupation, and the Romans had taken control, and they held a vice-like grip. If the people of Israel tried to demonstrate or demand certain things, they were crushed. But they were a nation oppressed by their religious leaders as well. The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Levites, the priests, the high priests. Whenever we read of them in the Gospels, it seems that they are opposed to what Jesus was trying to do. And they were ready to condemn people who were already suffering. Let me give you a few examples. The man born blind in John chapter 9. Jesus had opened his eyes, and yet the religious leader said to him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. The poor guy, probably in his mid-20s at least, had never seen the light of day, and the religious leaders were to say, "Your blindness is a result of sin." On another occasion, the disciples of Jesus were walking through a cornfield. Now, whether they were hungry or whether they were just daydreaming. But as they walked along, and I'm sure many of us have done this as we've walked through the countryside, they stripped the ears off a head of corn, and they were ready to eat them. But the religious leaders were there. Look at your disciples. They are breaking the Sabbath. They, in effect, are reaping oppression, ready to criticize all the time. And I think one of the most painful is recorded for us in Luke 13. Because there we have a story of a woman who was bent double with some sort of problem. And Jesus, as he would have done, healed her. And yet we are told that the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath." They were oppressed politically. They were oppressed religiously. But I said to you that they were a leaderless people. Christ means one appointed, one anointed by God. Jesus was criticized by the religious leaders, and the religious leaders of his day were in constant battle with the Romans. There was no clear leader, nobody with marked authority. And I said to you that they were a godless people. Now, what do I mean by that? Because they were a very religious people. Every year, when the major festivals came round, their synagogues, their temples were full. So they had a form of religion. But their God, the God who had spoken through the Old Testament in the mighty acts of salvation in the days of Noah, in the days of Moses, the days of David, who had preached clearly through men like Isaiah and Jeremiah, the God of the Old Testament was obscured and hidden by religious formality, by religious rules. And therefore, this night when Jesus is born, it's not just a nice series of words. God is saying to these people, "I understand where you are. I understand that you are oppressed. I understand that you have got no one that you can clearly follow because there's no clear leader amongst you. I understand that while I am in existence and I have never changed, the religious setup of your day has clouded people's vision of me. And there's a way in which you're not aware of the presence of God." God was speaking into their immediate situation. Friends, what is God saying to us tonight through this great statement? Well, I believe he's giving us a personal message, an immediate message, and a powerful message. Let's look at the verse again. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." God has a personal message for these shepherds on the hillside. He has a personal message for each of us here tonight. One of the great problems when people sit listening to preaching, if they think it's a fine sermon, they often sit there saying, "Oh, this would be a good message for Mrs. Smith, or for Mr. Jones, or for my friend Bill, or my uncle Fred." And they think of other people. But God this night doesn't speak to the religious leaders, the priests. He isn't speaking to the Roman oppressors. He is speaking to shepherds. People outcast from society, not able to approach God. People who were often told that they weren't welcome. But God said, I have got a message for you. A message for us as a church. A message for you as an individual. It was a personal message. We are told, aren't we, in the Old Testament that there was a young child that had been dedicated to God by his parents. His name was Samuel, and God spoke to him. He didn't understand the voice of God. And the old priest said to him, next time God speaks to you, next time you hear the voice, answer like this, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. God has spoken tonight through the Bible. Every time the Bible has been opened and read, God has spoken. He's spoken to you. He's spoken to us. It's a personal message. But it's an immediate message. There they were in the middle of the night, and the angel says, this day in the city of David. Again, people make a big mistake when they hear preaching. They say, oh, that challenged me. It made me really think about things. Now, I've got to do this week, I've got to do that next week, and I've got to do that. Come the summer, I'll be in a position to do something about this. But no, God says, now, this day. And it's not a place of pilgrimage. The city of David was Bethlehem. It wasn't Jerusalem. They didn't have to go to the capital city to meet with God. No, God was there. God was at work that day in their situation. For 400 years, the powerful voice of prophecy had not been heard. And even now, it's not the voice of a preacher, it's the voice of an angel. It is God breaking into history, and he is saying, I've got a message for you, and it relates to now. These things are taking place now. They're not tomorrow. It's not the next day. It's not at a distance. And we've got an example to learn from with these shepherds. Verse 15 tells us, when the angels went back to heaven, there was no time wasted. They sat down, and I can imagine them rubbing their eyes, talking to one another and saying, I'm not dreaming, am I? That did happen. There was an angel, and there was a crowd of angels, weren't there? Yeah, well, I think I saw it. Maybe it was a bit like us tonight. The lights went out, and then, you know, well, what's happening? They said, come on, we've got to do something about this. We have got to get up and move. Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Their lives were changed. Not at some time in the future, but immediately. They responded to the voice of God. And friends, this message did not only change them, it changed many other people as well. Look at verse 18. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. Who was preaching? John the Baptist? Some great preacher like Isaiah or Jeremiah or Daniel? No. Shepherds. No schooling, no education. Do you realize, friends, that if you have an experience of God, you have a message that you can share with others immediately. Their message even affected Mary. And let's remember who Mary was. Mary herself had met with God through another angel. She had heard the voice of God in her life, but we're told Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. Let me ask you, friends, are there times when you think, oh, she's so young, he is such a young Christian, what can I learn from him? I've been a Christian all these years. But no, Mary, with her direct experience of God, was humbled. I can imagine her thinking, well, God spoke to me. Tonight, I have been going through the pain and trauma of childbirth, but God has been speaking to other people, and I'm to listen to them. And this dear woman, so greatly used of God, was so humble that she was willing to listen to another. There was an immediate message, and the shepherds responded immediately. But it was a powerful message. These three great names of the Lord Jesus Christ, Saviour, Christ, the Lord. In our day and age, the word Saviour is quite often used of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in actual fact, in the Gospel, it's not used a lot. But this night, the night that Jesus was born, these men knew salvation. They were saved from the oppression under which they had lived. They were saved from the darkness in which they had lived. We so often think of our salvation being something that is beyond the grave. Praise God it is! But friends, our salvation is immediate. And these men heard the word of God, they believed the word of God, they obeyed the word of God, they responded to the word of God, and they were changed by the word of God. They were saved that night, because we are told that they returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. These men were set free. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Christ has not yet started exercising his earthly ministry, but the power of God was present to save and to set people free. And friends, tonight, that freedom is still available in Christ Jesus. What is it that oppresses you? What is it that restricts you? What is it that won't allow you to enjoy the fullness of God's love and mercy? Come to the Saviour tonight. To the one who came into the world, not to judge the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How did he save us? Well, there's a way in which he didn't save us by his birth, but without his birth, he could not have saved us. He began his earthly work of salvation that night, totally humbled, and then living in obedience to God until 33 years later, when he gave up his life on the cross as a ransom, as a substitute. What for? To save all who will believe in him. Have you believed, friends? Have you believed in the Son of God who became man and lived among us? Oh, but Bernard, we live in a world that as many religions, even here in Pill, we have temples, mosques, kingdom hall. Don't all these roads lead to God? Well, this verse tells us that he is a saviour, who is Christ. The word Christ is anointed, appointed, the only one. There's a way in which the name Christ says there are no comparisons. It is exclusive. Christ is the only one appointed by God to save us. Oh, but Bernard, I've got a good deal. I've got a good promise here. You know, this time of year, there was a time and Christmas sales started on Boxing Day, didn't they? But they start earlier these days. And probably if you're like me and you're doing your last minute shopping, you can pick up a few bargains. But you can't do that with salvation, because there is only one way of salvation, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It was incredibly expensive. It was his becoming man. It was his dying on the cross. But he is the only one. But friends, this series of names with Jesus starts with Saviour. It goes on to Christ, and it rises to Lord, the name of God. But also, it is a name with a very practical application. It's the name of God, but we know that if somebody is called Lord here on earth, he has an authority. And I don't believe that this is possible, but there are people who want to say, I've accepted Christ as my Saviour, but I've not yet yielded to him as Lord. You can't do it, friends. There are other people who say, well, I want Jesus to save me, but I don't want to give up the authority of my own life. I don't want to sacrifice myself to the hands of somebody else. What I want to say to you, friends, they're far safer hands than you will ever have. Those of you who are with us this morning, I explained that Joseph tried to save his wife Mary, but he couldn't. But God is able to save. And we can go through life thinking, yes, I want Jesus to save me, but I'll work it all out myself. You can't, friends. We have to live in obedience to the God who loved us and gave himself to save us. He has power to save because he is Lord. Friends, Jesus was the babe of Bethlehem. Today, he is the Lord of glory. That night, the shepherds responded immediately and found peace and joy. Where are you? Today, in the city of David, is born a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Is he your Saviour? Is he your Christ? Is he your Lord? I trust that he is. And may the Lord give you the happiest Christmas that you have ever known. Well, let's join that host of angels as we sing our final carol.